Check the rock. Hello and welcome to Yudcast episode 29. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you once again, exploring the Souls curriculum from the Sound Lab here at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. We are just back from Passover break. Hope everyone out there enjoyed a lovely Pesach, had a Seder with family and friends, if that is your jam. I thought I'd start today with a poem by a rabbi, by Abraham Joshua Heschel, who before he became Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel was a poet. He wrote this book called The Ineffable Name of God, Man. Really interesting collection of poems, mostly wrote in Yiddish. Anyway, I thought I'd start out here with the poem At Night by the Sea. And I thought of Heschel because for some reason his work was really a lot on my mind over the Passover break. And actually, in particular, I was thinking a lot about his book, The Sabbath, and the notion that he has in there that that Shabbat is a cathedral of time, as he describes it, that because Judaism is a religion of time, that it sanctifies time as opposed to space, we create holy time more than holy space. And I was thinking about holy time, spending time with my family and doing our Seder traditions, which I really love. But we also spent time by the sea. So this poem is called At Night by the Sea. The night smoked up the window pane from the wideness of the sea. The wind tosses and rolls out long white wax candles from the foam of melted waves. A star falls suddenly down like a flame. Soon, everywhere, hands will thrust out everywhere in processions thick with burning candles. Tattered flames on giant stems from the sea's edge to the corners of the world and open the gates of an alien infinity. The winds toss the billows of the sea. Above, seagulls flap their wings as if quenching a flame. I love that notion of an alien infinity. I have often felt that standing before a dark seascape myself. So, this week's Yudcast, drawn from the word of the week, is titled L'dor V'dor. And it begins, in the genetically modified dystopia of Margaret Atwood's Oryx and Crake, which was one of my Passover reads, the titular Crake, who is a character, states the following, quote, all it takes is the elimination of one generation. One generation of anything, beetles, trees, microbes, scientists, speakers of French, whatever. Break the link in time between one generation and the next, and it's game over forever. Oryx and Crake was the last book that I read on our break, spent in a small beach town in Mexico where there was little to do beyond read in the sun, broken up by playing lots of cards and swimming. I recommend the book if you have the stomach for a far too plausible and not too distant broken future. Crake's line about generations was resonant for me, as it likely is for you, because of where our Pesach began, in a Seder with our extended family. We've rewritten our Haggadah over the years, starting with the base of a Jewish and Black Baptist interfaith Seder that Kehillah Community Synagogue organized in the mid-80s. It is a righteous, thoughtful, energizing ceremony. but with four kids under the age of eight, we've needed to tune it more to their attention spans, understanding the primary purpose being to tell the story of our liberation from Egypt to each new generation. So we've tinkered with it, and we continue to tinker with it. We talk of spiritual renewal, of celebrating the birth of a people into political freedom. We add an orange to the Seder plate. We linger over Nachshon's courage. We sing old songs made new. We make sure the links stay strong. My first read of the break, after the Seder and ensconced on the plane, was Jonathan Safran Foer's behemoth Here I Am. I'd begun it over winter break and it fizzled. It's neither a simple nor an emotionally light read, and I realized I needed uninterrupted attention for it, so I put it on my mental vacation read list. It dives deep into Jewish American identity, from the role of the intellect and learning to a relationship with cousins in Israel. Reviewers have called it messy and complicated, and that seems fair, but with bright blue sky above me and oceans of time ahead, I found it riveting. An eyes wide, if unhappy, accounting of our broken selves and broken world, and our aspirations for each. One line in particular jumped out, quote, "Our stories are so fundamental to us that it's easy to forget that we choose them." It comes from a moment when a young rabbi is addressing gathered mourners. He uses the occasion of a lost grandparent to consider what happens when we lose a generation, and two, why we choose the story of Anne Frank as foundational rather than the Torah itself. The Torah is not about survival, he claims, it is about righteousness. The Jewish story is a story not of merely living against all odds, it is about being a beacon of justice in an unjust world. But then, it is not so simple as choosing new stories, or not only as simple as that. Anne Frank did hide, and for good reason. That the links were only partly broken in the middle of the last century is a miracle woven of thousands of just actions in a world gone so unjust as to have been dystopian. We have needed to shelter, to circle the wagons. We have needed to know who was with us. The second book I read in sunny Mexico was John McWhorter's Words on the Move, which I did not forget to pack this time, thankfully. McWhorter is one of my favorite linguists, and I feel a creeping suspicion that I should be embarrassed for having just spoken that sentence. For his keen observational ear, he hears a great deal in our language, and actually reading through his books, I've also listened to he has a course offered through the Great Courses catalog. I've listened to that on the natural history of human language, and I'm always amazed at the really deft observations he pulls out of these minor details. And he also has an amazing sense of humor. As I read the book, I kept interrupting Kate's reading to share quotes, which I'm sure was really irritating. It was so funny, I just couldn't help myself. The first chapter of the book concerned a branch of communication called pragmatics, which I understand to mean the pieces of language that don't fit neatly into our noun, verb, adjective, etc. frameworks. Think of phrases like well, or really, or even, as in, he even interrupted me to read a quote about gray-ass squirrels, which I did. These pieces of language do various things. Assert veracity, or communicate surprise. One of their primary functions, though, is to ease conversation, like laughter or LOLs in text. They communicate comfort and a shared experience. What struck me in reading this fascinating book is that in many ways, this is the function of Yiddish in American Jewish life. When I say oi instead of oh no, there is an identifying move being made. We're members of a tribe. We're in this language, this moment, this story together. When we landed back in San Francisco, I turned on my phone and saw an email from Howard Caro sharing David Brooks's column from this past week, How to Leave a Mark on People. In it, he asserts that some institutions are thick. that they become part of a person's identity and engage the whole person. Thick institutions call forth the best in their members. People share a sense of purpose. Important traditions and stories are shared. L'dor v'dor means from generation to generation. It is not a biblical phrase. It's a more recent story of ours, and one we especially like to tell as American Jews. Dor comes from the Hebrew word that meant circle or room. We mean to gather close. We try to make our institutions thick. Returning to Brandeis yesterday, I walked with awe into the library to see the middle school mural elective's painting of San Francisco spread out like a pan to this beautiful, creative city of ours. I stood gaping, and a group of first graders gathered to gape with me. One of them, Geffen, pointed up to the sky and said, "I see my star." Every lower school student made a star. Every middle school advisory made a bird. We are all of us present in lines and colors on that wall. It makes me wonder how we will share this story, how the narrative of the mural's making will pass from one generation to the next. However it does, I know we are stronger for the telling. With that, I wish you all weekends full of starry stories, my friends. Shabbat Shalom to all of you listening on Shabbat. Be sure you get up to the Media Resource Center and check out the amazing mural that is up there. And welcome back from Passover break. We'll see you next week.